Radio Eagle, deine Geschichte.
G'day mates, welcome to Australia Podcast. Today we talk about Australia, a very big country and also a continent. It is the sixth largest country in the world. Australia is in the southern hemisphere, so the seasons are different. When it is summer in Austria, it's winter in Australia. About 26 million people live in Australia. The capital city is Canberra, but the biggest cities are Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. Australia is famous for its special animals like kangaroos, koalas and wombats. Many of these animals only live in Australia. The country also has very different landscapes. There are long beaches, hot deserts, green rainforests and a famous outback. One famous beach is Bondi Beach in Sydney. Many people go there to surf and swim. Another important place is Uluru, a big red rock in the middle of Australia. It is very important for Aboriginal people. In the north, there is Cape Tribulation, where the rainforest meets the ocean. The Whitsundays are beautiful islands with white sand and clear blue water. In Western Australia, Esperance is famous for its very white beaches and clear sea.
People in Australia speak English, but they often use slang. For example, they say mate for friend. Today we have a guest, Miss Ferg. She's a young teacher and she stopped her job for 1 year to travel around Australia. She visited places like Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Bondi Beach, the Whitsundays, Cape Tribulation, Esperance, and Uluru. You can see some pictures below the podcast. We are Hannah, Ilvi, and my name is Hannah as well. Want to learn more about Australian animals, cities, food, culture, and daily life. We will also hear real travel stories. Ms. Ferg, thank you for being here today. We are happy to talk to you.
Hello, I'm happy to be here too.
Let's start with some warm-up questions. Why did you choose Australia for your trip?
I think I've always wanted to go to Australia, but because it's so far away, it was never worth taking such a long journey. So I thought if I go for a full year, that's the perfect time to go. And I love beaches. I love the summer. So I think Australia is one of the best countries to go to if you're into that.
And how long did you stay in Australia?
I stayed pretty much for a full year. So I left in early September and I got back at the end of August, right before the next school year started.
What was your first impression when you arrived in Sydney?
I think I was just a bit in shock because it was always so far away and all of a sudden I was there. And it was raining the first day we got there and we went straight to Bondi Beach because we were also trying to find a place to live in that area. So that was kind of the first place we went to. But the weather wasn't nice. It was still kind of early spring back down there. So we just walked around and took it all in.
That seems very exciting.
Let's talk about animal and nature. Did you see kangaroos or koalas in real life?
Yes. So I didn't expect to see that many kangaroos, to be honest. I thought it was kind of like deers that you see in Austria every now and then when you're on the road. But in Australia, there's like 10 times the amount of kangaroos compared to deers. I think when we were driving, we saw hundreds of kangaroos. They're not hard to find. They will jump across the road especially during like dusk and dawn. So in the morning and in the evening. And we saw a bunch of koalas too. They're not as easy to find because they're in the trees and they're sleeping most of the time. And they're only in specific areas. There's not that many left. They're in danger too. But we saw them in a couple areas. We saw them on Magnetic Island and also down in Victoria.
That's fantastic. I really like koalas too. What was the most interesting animal you saw?
I think it's probably a toss-up between the two of them. I can't decide if I like kangaroos or koalas more. We also saw huge spiders, huntsman spiders, which are like, I don't know, 20 centimeters long. And we saw a bunch of like very big snakes, like tiger snakes, brown snakes, which are some of the most venomous snakes that exist. So yeah, it was really interesting to see the wildlife.
But weren't you afraid of the snakes and the spiders?
I was. I'm like terrified of spiders. I feel like snakes are okay, but spiders is where I like draw the line. Thankfully, we never had them in like our apartment or inside. But when you're like walking through the forests or even if you're going to the beach, you might see snakes and spiders. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, usually they leave you alone. But I think Australians really like get a laugh out of watching Europeans get scared.
Did you visit places like Cape Tribulation or Whitsundays? What was the nature like there?
Yes. So I think Australia has the most beautiful nature of any country I've ever been to, especially because of places like Cape Tribulation, Whitsundays. The entire west coast of the country is breathtaking, like incredible. So yeah, for Cape Tribulation and the Whitsundays, we traveled by bus and it was a bit of a rough journey every now and then, but it was really nice and very special to see. I think both places are very, very unique. And in the Whitsundays, you can access the Great Barrier Reef. So you can take a helicopter flight across the reef and you see it from the top, which was insane. And then you can also do a lot of snorkeling and diving trips where you can see sharks and like octopus and a lot of fish and really big fish. We saw a lot of whales too, because it was during the summer months. So they're migrating to Antarctica. So when you take any boat trip up there, it's just a bunch of whales breaching and splashing in the water, which was incredible.
Yeah, that seems really interesting.
Cities and places. Which city did you like the most? Sydney, Brisbane, or Melbourne? And why?
I definitely have to say Sydney. I think I'm a bit biased because I lived in Sydney when I was there. So my friend and I, who came with me, we lived in Sydney for about 6 months. And the other 6 months we spent traveling around the country. And we realized very quickly that Sydney was so special because it kind of combines a big city life with a very calm and quiet beach life. So it was really nice to just take a quick train or bus to the beach and just do like a hike and see the cliffs and lay on the beach. And once you get to Bondi, it seems like a very like different world because it's so calm and quiet and relaxed compared to like downtown, which Australians call the CBD, Central Business District. So I feel like it's just really like the best of both worlds.
Okay. So you have a lot of different options you can do in Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah. So in Sydney, it's really all about where you live. Depending on if you want to be close to the beach, you can live in the eastern suburbs. If you like a big city, I would live in the center, in the business district. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very versatile and you can really choose what you like.
What was your favorite place, Esperance, Whitsundays, or Cape Tribulation?
I have to say Esperance. I think it was on my bucket list for so long that by the time I got there, my expectations were so high. And then it was still even better than I ever imagined. It's in the southwest of Australia. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in that area, there's a lot of great white sharks because the water is so cold. But the beaches were just incredible. There's a lot of national parks and they really protect the nature. So there's no hotels or resorts that kind of destroy the beaches. It's very clean and there's just so many big beaches and so few people. So you're essentially alone there and you have the beach to yourself. And there's maybe like five other cars because it's so remote. It's so far away from any big city or even towns that it's just so special to be there. And yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a nicer beach in my life.
No, I want to go there too. Did you visit Uluru and how did you feel when you saw it?
Yes. When my dad was visiting me in Australia, we went to Uluru together. It was just a quick plane ride from Sydney. I think it was maybe about like an hour. And when you get there, it's a bit shocking how remote it is. There's a very, very small town that consists of five hotels and that's it. Oh. There's no doctor, no hospital. I think there's a post office and like a very small drugstore, but that's about it. And you're only allowed to live there if you work there. So you can't just choose to move there. And when you get there, it's just red sand and rocks and bushland and that huge rock. That's all you see for miles and miles and miles. And I think when you get there, you can just feel how special it is, to like the Aboriginal people of Australia, and how lucky you are to see this place that's so holy to them and so unique, because I don't think you can really see anything like this anywhere else in the world.
Why is it so holy to them?
So these people basically come from this area, and they've been, they have like a spiritual connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's even some parts of the rock where they have carved stuff that you're not allowed to photograph or film at all. They told us that on the tours as well. Like when we were driving around the rock, they will give you a heads up and say, don't take any photos of this area because there's like cravings in there or things they wrote on the rock. And just areas where they go to pray or to do whatever. I think what exactly they do there is a bit of a mystery. Even the people working there couldn't tell us everything, because I think it's very protected and mm-hmm. it's just for them to know what exactly goes on and why it is that important. But yeah, by the way it was shown to us and by the way people talked about it, you could just tell it was like super, super important to them, and they had like a really strong emotional connection to it.
Sounds interesting. Is life in Austria different from life in Australia?
Yes, definitely. I think the biggest difference is just the work-life balance that mm-hmm. we have here. I think people in Austria focus a lot more on like their careers and being successful, mm-hmm. and they kind of do a 9-to-5 and then they get home and then it's the weather's bad and then they just go to bed or watch TV. And in Australia, by the time the sun rises, the beaches are packed. There's run clubs. People get coffee at 5 a.m. Like there's a 5-to-9 before their 9-to-5 job. And I went to watch the sunrise one time and I was just like, why are there so many people? Why is it more busy than it is like in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because they really value spending time in nature even before work. There's a lot of people surfing in the mornings, even in the evenings. So they use really like every second of daylight that they have to be outside and do something. And they don't really focus as much on making it in their jobs or getting a promotion. I think they're a lot more easygoing than we are here. And I think that's just the main difference that I noticed.
What surprised you about Australian culture?
I wouldn't say I was like shocked by anything. What surprised me is how many people from different backgrounds live there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was obviously a country with a lot of immigrants, because that's kind of who built Australia up the way that we know it today. But when you go there, it's kind of hard to even meet Australians, because everybody around you is just from somewhere else trying to move there. I met so many people from South America or from Asian countries or Europeans. We met a lot of Germans and French people and Italians. And I think it's just very unique to have a place where so many cultures mix together. And it works. I feel like it really works well.
You kind of already mentioned, but what is a normal day like in cities like Brisbane or Melbourne?
Yeah, so I think, like I said, the biggest difference is people start very early. Like they just get up at 4:30, 5 a.m. and get their day started. And then, I mean, people do work. It's not like they're just sitting at home. They do go to work. And then, yeah, I think people really, really love spending time at the beach. That's what I've noticed a lot. As soon as the sun is out, people go to the beach. People don't like being at home. My days usually consisted of just that. I would go to work and then I would just go to the beach. If it was cold or winter or raining, then I would spend time in the city. There's a lot of nice bakeries and restaurants and bars and museums and just so many sites that you can go and see that are exciting, that I feel like you never really run out of things to do in the city. I've never lived in Melbourne or Brisbane, but I imagine it would be similar.
What about Aboriginal culture? Did you learn something about Aboriginal culture at Uluru?
Yes. Even the resorts made it a very big priority to teach visitors about the culture of the people that are from this area. And I think the thing that surprised me the most was how important art was to them. They did a lot of finger painting, and also with very fine brushes, and they did a lot of wood carving as well. So my dad, for example, he bought like a wooden snake that they carved, and it was just, yeah, they're so good at arts and craft. And from what I was told, that's just a cultural practice that's in their day-to-day life.
So you saw Aboriginal art. Mm-hmm. Did you also learn something about Aboriginal music?
No, I mean, I know they have some special instruments that they use, but I didn't listen to any performances. Like, I didn't watch any performances. I don't know if they do any special dances or anything. So about music, I don't really know too much. What I do know is that they have a lot of wooden instruments that they use too.
I think one is the like didgeridoo.
The didgeridoo,
it's
yeah.
It's also made of eucalyptus wood. And I think they played a lot of music with it.
Yeah.
My relatives in Australia told me some things about Australian food. Did you try Vegemite and did you like it? Because my dad didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with your dad. I thought it was like disgusting. It's just not edible to me. Mm-hmm. I have to apologize to Australians who love it, but I had to spit it out because it was just, I could not swallow it. I can't even describe what it tastes like, really. It's not sweet. It's not sour either. It's kind of bitter and somewhat sticky. And you're supposed to eat it on bread and butter. But when I put it on, everybody told me, no, use less. And I'm like, how good can it really be if I'm supposed to be using as little as possible? So I kind of started to have doubts there, but the second I tasted it, I was like, no.
Yeah, I just smelled on it once and I was like, no, I don't want to try it.
No,
at
it
all.
Doesn't have the best smell. I'd rather eat Nutella or any other condiment.
Did you eat something special in cities like Melbourne or Sydney?
Not really. I'm vegetarian, so I couldn't really try a lot of the things. But what I found really funny is that they claim schnitzel is their national dish, which it obviously is not. And they really think it is. They try to argue with me, saying like, no, we eat this. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it comes from Austria. And they also eat a lot of fish and chips, which makes sense because of British colonization. But yeah, those two foods kind of were random to me, especially schnitzel, which was like, no, you did not invent this. And you can like it, but you can't claim it as your own. But other than that, I can't really think of anything that's like typically Australian. I think they eat a lot of seafood from what I could tell, which I didn't try. But because the country is relatively new, like it hasn't existed for as long as Austria has or any of the other European countries. So I think they just never developed their own cuisine, really. And they just took things from other countries. And I think that's just how it came to be.
Yeah, I could never imagine that they're called schnitzel. Dish.
They pronounce it very weirdly too. They will say like schnitzel or something. And it was just, yeah. I always like zoned out of those conversations very quickly.
What was your favorite food in Australia?
They had something that's not really Australian, but it kind of is. They had a lot of sushi rolls. So they had them with fish, but also vegan or vegetarian options. And it's something I've never seen before. Obviously, sushi is from Japan, but they didn't cut it up. They just sell it kind of like a burrito. And it's just like a roll that you buy for $2 or $3. So it's very, very cheap too. Usually sushi is expensive, so I was surprised by that. And it's something you can find on any street corner. It's just kind of a to-go food. If you Google it, you'll see it's like just really random. And it's kind of like just sushi, but not cut up.
Did you learn any Australian slang words?
I mean, they pronounce a lot of things very weirdly. They will say water. The amount of times the lifeguards would scream at people on the beach to like get out of the water really traumatized me. And then they say a lot of strange words, like they will say brekkie instead of breakfast. They just shorten everything and put a Y at the end. They'll say mate instead of friend, which I think you've mentioned already in the beginning. But yeah, I think those are the most important ones. But even if they say the normal English word, it'll sound a bit weird because they just pronounce it so differently.
Can you tell us any funny Australian word or expression?
I think brekkie really like surprised me the first time. I was like, who? Where? And then they also have like a very weird phrase for afternoon, which I can't remember. I think it's like afty or something. It's also that type of like shortened word. I think it was just funny that they talk like children, essentially.
I know that you call like mosquitoes mossy.
And yeah, that might be a thing.
It's also like the Y at the end.
Yeah, and that might be a thing.
The barbecue is also like Barbie.
Yes, yes, that's another one. They love barbecues there. There are so many free grills that you can use just at the beach, at the park. Anyone can just walk up and use it if you bring your own food. They love barbecues. That's one thing I've noticed as well.
Yeah, my father told me he thinks the Australian shorten everything because of the mosquitoes, so they don't fly in your mouth.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's a smart.
Because he was there, and when he talked to my uncle once, he had his mouth full of flies.
Yeah, the flies are an issue. The flies are actually an issue. We had to put like protective nets over our head just so the flies wouldn't attack our eyes and mouth and nose, because they apparently fly towards anything that's wet. So, and at some point, it depends on where you go, but especially in the bushland, when you go a bit like a bit further away from the beaches, the flies will just harass you like crazy. You will just have like 20 to 30 flies on you at all times. So if you ever go there, be prepared for that, especially in summer.
Now, what about your personal experiences? What was your best moment in Australia?
Maybe it was when I first saw the Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I got there, I hadn't really realized where I was until I saw it. And I was just walking around the city. And then when I saw it, I was just speechless. I don't know. It's not that special. I've seen it a million times in pictures. But I think when you see it in real life and it's such a famous site that you've thought about so many times, you've seen so many times, I was just kind of flabbergasted. I was just speechless. And yeah, I think that was maybe a moment that I will remember for a long time, just because it was so special.
Did something funny or crazy happen during your trip?
A lot of funny things happened, especially while we were camping. So when we traveled the West Coast, there's not a lot of hotels. And sometimes you go 6 hours before you even see another car. So it's very remote. It's very far away. So we decided to camp in the car, which was not a camper van. And it was also not a very good car. So we just slept in the front seats and spent a month going up and down the West Coast. And I feel like that was just a crazy experience and a funny experience in itself. Something a little bit less positive, maybe. We got stuck in Brisbane when a cyclone was about to hit. So we were on full lockdown. Everything was closed. We were scared it was going to flood. And I remember it being in the news here as well, because my mom and dad were calling me very worried. And apparently it was like the strongest or biggest cyclone and the first one to even hit Brisbane in a very long time, because usually it's only further up north. So yeah, that was a crazy thing, a crazy experience, because we were just forced to stay in a hotel for 3 to 4 days. We were not allowed to go outside. We were not allowed to shop for groceries. We were not allowed to eat at a restaurant. We were just on lockdown in our rooms.
What advice do you have for students who want to visit Australia?
I think the most important thing is just go for it. Like, don't overthink it. Just do it if you want to do it, because I think a lot of people don't go because they're too scared or too nervous about it. It is a lot of work beforehand. You have to be very organized and you have to get a lot of things in order before you can go, like a visa. You have to maybe think about, what city am I even going to live in? How am I going to get a job and a place to live? I think if you're a student, there's really good options for, like, maybe do an exchange semester or an exchange year or live with a host family. I know there's also an option to do au pair and look mm-hmm. after people's children. So I think if you're a bit nervous about it, maybe try an organized trip to Australia rather than doing it like me and just moving there for a year without any preparation. But yeah, I know there's loads of options. There's like German schools as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something for everybody who's interested in going.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ferg, for sharing your stories with us.
No worries. I enjoyed being here.
See you next time. And don't forget to say g'day, mate, not just hello.
Radio Igel, deine Geschichte.